Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Prisoners and Miranda Rights Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On February 21st, 2012, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Howells v. Fields. The question in this case was whether a prisoner who was removed from the general prison population for the purpose of being questioned about outside events was in custody during his interrogation and therefore entitled to Miranda warnings. In an opinion delivered by Justice Alito, the court held by a vote of 6-3 that, under the facts of this case, the prisoner was not in custody for Miranda purposes. Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Scalia, Kennedy, Thomas, and Kagan joined Justice Alito's opinion. Justice Ginsburg filed an opinion concurring in part and dissenting in part, which was joined by Justices Breyer and Sotomayor. To discuss the case, we have Mark Brnovich, who is the director of the Arizona Department of Gaming and a former federal and state prosecutor. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Brnovich.
The case of Howells v. Fields was decided by the United States Supreme Court on February 21, 2012. The case was originally argued on October 4, 2011, and came to the Supreme Court after the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals granted a habeas corpus petition that was filed by Fields, alleging that his constitutional rights had been violated when a Michigan trial court allowed the admission of statements he made while incarceration at a Michigan jail. Fields asserted that any incriminating statements he made while in custody in a Michigan jail were inadmissible pursuant to Miranda v. Arizona, and more specifically, Mathis v. U.S., a case decided by the Supreme Court in 1968. As you may know, the landmark case of Miranda v. Arizona established that statements made in custodial interrogation settings are only admissible if a suspect has been properly advised of his or her rights against self-incrimination and the right to have a lawyer present. But the Supreme Court rejected his habeas claim made pursuant to 28 U.S.C. 2254d1, which is the Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act of 1996, by a unanimous vote. That is, all of the justices agreed that he was not entitled to the habeas relief that he sought. Furthermore, by a 6-3 vote, the court rejected the Sixth Circuit's position that isolation from the general prison population combined with the questioning of an inmate about conduct that occurred outside of prison constituted a per se custodial interrogation requiring Miranda warnings. In essence, what the Sixth Circuit had decided was that any time someone was in custody, that a Miranda warning would be required whenever they were questioned about outside activity. Now, traditionally, a court's Miranda analysis has always focused on each situation's specific facts to determine if a reasonable person would believe he or she was in custody for interrogation purposes that would constitute the necessity for a Miranda warning. Thus, I believe it's very important that we begin this discussion with looking at the underlying facts of this case. Randall Lee Fields was in custody in a Michigan jail serving a sentence for disorderly conduct. One evening, he was taken from his cell and escorted to a conference room, where he was questioned by a police officer, not a corrections officer, about conduct that occurred prior to his incarceration. Now, on the one hand, he did not initiate this contact with the outside law enforcement officials. He did not agree or request to be interviewed in advance. He was not advised that he didn't have to speak with law enforcement officers, and his interview ended up lasting somewhere between 5 and 7 hours, and he was returned to his cell after his normal bedtime. Furthermore, the officers questioning him were armed, and the door of the conference room remained closed during portions of the interview. Now, all these types of factors would tend to fall down on the side of requiring some sort of Miranda warning. But, on the other hand, as the court pointed out, Fields was told at the beginning of his interview, and reminded throughout it, that he was free to return to his cell whenever he wanted. He was not physically restrained in any way. He was not threatened. And he was not, quote, uncomfortable, unquote, in the conference room during this process, according to the records of the trial. All of these factors are important because the court, as I mentioned, rejected the per se or bright line rule that the Sixth Circuit adopted that would have required Miranda warnings for any prisoner inmate in custody being questioned about a possible criminal offense. All the justices agreed that the court's prior precedents did not require Miranda warnings automatically when an inmate was questioned about conduct that occurred outside his or her imprisonment. That is, incarceration in and of itself does not constitute custody for Miranda purposes. Where the justices split 6-3 was whether the facts and circumstances presented necessitated the reading of Miranda warnings prior to the admissibility of the statements made by defendant Fields. The dissent in this case was brief and didn't focus or even mention the 1968 U.S. Supreme Court Mathis v. U.S., which concerned the interrogation of a prisoner. The Sixth Circuit relied on Mathis and held that, quote, the central holding of Mathis is that a Miranda warning is required whenever an incarcerated individual is isolated from the general population and is interrogated about conduct occurring outside of the prison, end quote. Now, without adopting a bright line or per se rule, the three dissenters, led by Justice Ginsburg, nonetheless put forth that Fields had been subject to, quote, interrogation in a police-dominated atmosphere, end quote, and was thus entitled to Miranda warnings before the admissibility of a statement. The dissenters noted that Fields did not initiate the questioning and the deputies were armed. That, combined with the environment, led them to conclude a Miranda warning was required. In summary, it appears that the three dissenters would seem to require Miranda warnings in any situation where an inmate did not initiate a conversation with prison or law enforcement officials. But the majority focused on the totality of facts to reach its determination that no Miranda warnings were required. First, the opinion of Justice Alito began by clearly setting forth that none of the court's prior decisions established a rule that imprisonment in and of itself constitutes custody for Miranda purposes. The majority noted that there was nothing inherently compelling about being incarcerated. That is, the situation faced by inmates would be, or should be, examined by courts using a totality of circumstances. In other words, how would a suspect or a person being questioned in those circumstances feel regarding his or her freedom of movement? The court clearly set forth that for custody purposes pursuant to Miranda, it is insufficient to say that there may be a limitation on an individual's freedom of movement. For example, the court pointed out what could occur at a traffic stop, as they held in Berkemire v. McCarty, that was permissible, or even if someone was in prison, as in the court's recent decision in Maryland v. Schatzer. Instead, the court focused on the totality of circumstances. In general, just because an individual is incarcerated, it doesn't mean they are in custody for Miranda purposes. As Justice Alito pointed out in his opinion, there were three reasons why a custody in and of itself shouldn't lead to the conclusion that a Miranda warning is required. First, questioning a person who is already in prison does not generally involve the same shock that would accompany other types of arrests or questioning by police officers. Second, an inmate is unlikely to be tricked or lured into speaking by longing for some sort of benefit from the people he is being questioned by. And third, a prisoner knows that his questioners lack the authority to affect the duration of his sentence. In conclusion, this case sets forth that the physical location of interrogation in and of itself is not a determining factor when Miranda warnings should apply. Second, the majority's opinion noted that, quote, voluntary confessions are not merely a proper element in law enforcement. They are an unmitigated good, essential to society's compelling interest in finding, convicting, and punishing those who violate the law, end quote. The court could have overturned the Sixth Circuit decision and left it at that. Instead, it had set out once again to limit the extent of Miranda. And this makes sense. After all, should prisoners be entitled to greater protection than ordinary citizens? By a 6-3 vote, the court said no.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.